Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 22. And he, Jesus, said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Oh, how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Wow. What a promise. Don't be anxious, because your Father knows what you need, and if you just seek the kingdom of God, everything that you need will be given to you. Look at the ravens, the birds, look at the lilies of the field, how God cares for them. Will he not much more care for you, his flock, his sheep? Do we really believe this? As the saying goes, do we really believe what we say we really believe? I mean, think of the promise that's being made here. All we have to do is seek God and seek his kingdom, and everything we need will be given to us. What a promise. Wow. And so he says, have no fear and do not be anxious. Easier said than done. Especially in today's world. I know so many of us can't stand to look at the news anymore. Things that are going on in politics, things are going in the financial world, these terrorist attacks that are happening all over. Now even the Olympics, can't we even enjoy the Olympics without all the controversy and stuff that's going on down in Brazil? And so, yes, this is a time of great anxiety, I believe, for the entire world. And my sense is it's going to increase. And so what is our place as Christians? What is our place as followers of Jesus Christ in this world that is fraught with anxiety? I think it's important for us today to try to understand, what is Jesus saying when he says, "Do not be anxious, fear not. Have more faith. Trust that your Father will give you what you need and store up treasure in heaven, because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." What are our priorities? Gosh, don't worry about what we're going to eat or what we're going to put on. And so we are living in an anxious culture. And I believe we're being tested in these times. Do we really believe the word of God and the promises that God makes? So today we want to talk about anxiety and fear and faith. The first thing is to talk about anxiety. I'm sure we all know what that is because we live in it many times in our lives. That sense of restlessness, that sense of worry, that sense of angst, it's like I just can't maybe sleep. A time of foreboding, worrying about something that many times doesn't even happen. But it can actually paralyze us, can it not? We get so fraught with this anxiety. And we don't know what to do with it. Well, where does this anxiety come from? Well, I believe it comes from our fears. Jesus said, fear not. Don't be anxious. Why not? Well, fear not. So anxiety comes from the fears that we have. Well, we have many fears. They come in all sizes and all shapes. Fear of death. Fear of financial ruin or insecurity. Maybe fear of where are we going to get the money to pay the next bill. Maybe fear of losing a loved one. Maybe fear of pain. Maybe fear of rejection. Maybe fear of losing a relationship. Many, many fears. And that leads to anxiety. So let me ask this. Where does our fear come from? What does fear grow out of? Well, I would argue that fear grows out of doubt. Doubt about what? Doubt about the very scripture passage that we just read, where God's saying, don't have any fear, don't be anxious. If you need something, your Father knows what you need, and He'll provide it for you as long as you seek the kingdom of God. He'll provide what you need. And like, well, yeah, I of course I believe it, right in my head, but boy, when there comes a time of testing, and I believe we're all there, we're all there, and those doubts start to creep in, like, is this stuff really true? Can God really provide a river in the desert? Wow. I mean, this is when real stuff gets real. We can talk about it in church as long as things are going fine, but boy, we're hit with some kind of a challenge, something in our lives, and it cuts to the very core of our faith. And those doubts start to creep in. And boy, the enemy just loves that, doesn't he? He takes that screw and he just turns it and turns it and turns it. And before we know it, we're doubting the very existence of God. Does he even know what's going on in my life? And so where does anxiety come from? It comes from fears. Where do the fears come from? It comes from these doubts that we have that are very real, very human, but also very worldly. Well, where do the doubts come from? Where do the doubts come from? Why do we have these doubts in our mind? I mean, we say, well, we all have them. Everybody has them. You can't do anything about doubts. To some extent, I think that's true. But I would argue that doubts do come from some place, and that place is distance. Distance from what? No. Distance from whom? See, God never moves away, but we move away from God, don't we? Is God the priority in our life? Seek first His kingdom. Doesn't say seek His kingdom, and it says seek first His kingdom, and all these things will be given to you besides. And so we can wrestle with this distance that we have in our relationship with God. As we grow more distant to God, what happens is the doubts will start to creep in. As the doubts start to creep in, the fears grow. As the fears grow, the anxiety just explodes upon us. Doesn't this explain a lot of what's going on in the world today? By and large, we live in a world that is ungodly, and they don't believe the stuff that we just read. And so what happens when people in the world are being overwhelmed by the anxieties and the fears of the world, and it just wreaks havoc everywhere? We live in a very anxious world, and I would dare say we in the church are challenged to not be part of that, because we're called to be witnesses to something better, something greater. So if anxiety comes from fear, fear comes from the doubts, doubts comes from this distance that we have in our relationship with God, then what is the answer? We just tell ourselves, well, don't be anxious. How many friends do we have to tell us that? Oh, stop being anxious. Stop worrying. How does that work? Doesn't work very well, does it? An act of the will. I'm not going to be anxious. I'm going to sleep. I'm not going to worry about this stuff, right? And how far does that take us? Not very far. So what is the answer? Well, the answer begins in the basis of the problem. The answer begins with a distance. And what is the response? Is to abide in Christ and allow Christ to abide in us. That is where it begins. This distance problem is a matter of not just God being with us, but in fact, in the Holy Spirit, God is in us. We abide in Christ and we allow Christ to abide in us. And that is the thing we celebrate specifically here every Sunday morning, why this is so important, the sacrament of the breaking of the bread. Like nothing else in all of Jesus' ministry did he give us anything like this. This is my body, this is my blood. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I abide in them. That's what this is all about, abiding in God in the person of Jesus Christ. That is the source of the remedy, and as we distance ourselves, is the source of the problem. So our remedy is, in fact, to abide in Christ and allow Christ to abide in us. Well, where does that lead us to? It leads us to knowing. It leads us to knowledge. It leads us to experience God and his faithfulness so that we know, as people say, in our deepest knower, we know that these promises of God are in fact true. Because I've experienced his presence in my life. And so where does that knowledge, that knowing lead to? Well, that leads to faith. That leads to this sense that I can actually trust these promises that God is making. And where does faith lead to? Well, faith leads to the peace, which we all long for. The peace, which passes all understanding, because from a worldly point of view, it doesn't make any sense. Am I anxious in my life? Well, I want the peace. Well, I've got doubts in my life. Well, I want faith. Just pray for more faith. Well, it's really because of the doubts that I have. The doubts come, I really don't know for sure, because I am more distant from God instead of abiding in relationship with God. So I don't want distance, I want abiding. I don't want doubts, I want knowing. The knowing that comes from a personal relationship. I don't want fear, I want faith. Where does faith come from? It comes from the knowing that comes from the relationship of the abiding. And what does that faith lead to? Instead of the anxiety, I have the peace that I long for. And so when we simply say, be not anxious, Jesus says, fear not, O you of little faith. As we heard in our text today, over and over again, Jesus gave the promise to the prophets. Jesus gave it to his disciples. I will be with you. That is the key. And so it begins abiding in Christ and allowing Christ to abide in us. People refer to these as divine encounters with the risen Christ. Isn't that a wonderful concept? And I would ask each of us this morning, when is the last time that you had a divine encounter? When is the last time that you had a sense that the presence of God was so real you could almost touch it? When was the last time you had a sense of the presence of God so real that you could almost hear his voice? Your thoughts were coming into mind, just know that this is God is speaking to me right now. Or a sense of peace that just comes over us. It's like, oh, I'm just bathing now in the Shekinah, the glory of God, and in his presence. When was the last time you had that experience? For some of us, we may not be used to thinking that way, and we might have to scratch our head and say, well, I don't know. I'm not even sure what this guy's talking about. A divine encounter with the living God? The God, creator of the universe? I mean, wow, think of that. Yeah, that's what he calls us to. That's what he promises us. And that's what we abide in, is that presence. And so we have these divine encounters. Divine encounters come in many ways. It comes in the Word of God. I believe it comes in the sacrament. It comes in the midst of community. But I would like to talk today about a special kind of divine encounter, which some people, again, I didn't come up with this, but others call it divine appointments. divine appointments, where God says, hey, let's get together. Where God says, I want to hang out with you. I want to do something with you. Now, these divine encounters is in some way, it's a calling to go someplace or be somewhere. Now, certainly God can be real to us as we sit here, as we are in the Word of God, as we're in prayer, even in the shower, you know, whatever. God can come at any time. But I think there's something special as we look at the scriptures and the narratives, the stories. Remember, Abraham was called to go somewhere else. You know, Moses was going somewhere else. There's this sense of God saying, I want to meet you somewhere. Now, maybe it's from your bedroom to the living room. You say, hey, I want to meet you in the living room. You know, get out of bed, let's have a meeting in the living room. It may be he says, I want to meet you on a walk on the dam. I want to meet you in the woods, go for a hike. I want to meet you wherever it might be, the nursing home. I want you to come to the I want to meet you at the nursing home, you know, on Friday. These are divine appointments that God gives us. And so I want to talk about those divine appointments today because I think they're going to be huge in our lives, particularly this dealing with anxiety and getting that peace that comes from abiding in the presence of God when we make these divine appointments. So I want to share with you because I had a few divine appointments just in the last couple weeks while I was on vacation. And I would just like to share one with you. As I had said, we had vacationed with the family out on Outer Banks. We were near Duck, North Carolina. Out on the coast and the ocean and, you know, the sand, it's all just beautiful. And about the third night, I think we were there, it just kind of came to me, this thought, spontaneous thought, you know, we keep coming up with that. Thought just like, wow, it'd be really neat to see the sunrise. You know, I was in the Coast Guard, we'd out at sea. It was one of my favorite times of the day. It was the breaking of a new day. So I had this thought come into me, I believe planted by God. Let me see, I try to keep softening that, and I keep doing that, but let me, God spoke to me, okay? God spoke to me and said, hey, I'd like to hang out with you tomorrow. Let's share a sunrise. I believe that's what happened. So that thought was planted in my brain. Now, it was enough that I thought to find out what's the time of sunrise. Well, it's a little bit after 6 a.m., so that means to get there before it starts to get light. You know, I really want to get up at like 5, you know, get down. We're about 100 yards from the beach, so I had to, you know, walk about 100 yards, so get up about 5. So I'm kind of thinking of that, but not fully emphatic that I'm going to do this. I didn't set an alarm or anything. Well, I'll tell you, 5 o'clock comes, and I'm like, bing, I'm awake. And I don't just mean like, I'm like, you know, I am wide awake. God woke me up. Again, I'm not going to try to fudge it or, you know, God woke me up and he said, okay, let's, how about that date we had, you know? And I'm like, oh, yeah. Now, again, because God is doing it, something when he calls us to these divine appointments, I think there's something that happens that not only is he called to us, but he instills a desire within us. I, at 5 o'clock in the morning, had a desire to get out of a nice bed, get dressed, and walk 100 yards to the beach. This desire, I'm like, wow, yeah, I want to do this. I'm wide awake. And so in this divine encounter, the first two things I would talk about is first, there was this anticipation that I kind of lived my life waiting for the next divine appointment. That seed was planted in my mind, I believe, by God saying, hey, let's watch the sunrise tomorrow. And so the next thing that I had to do was, in fact, the obedience to respond to that call. Now, it wasn't hard to do. Like I said, you think getting up 5 and no, I'm telling you, I was wide awake, totally alert, and I had a desire within me to get out of bed and go and to see the sunrise. And so I was obedient. Now the next thing is where the worldly starts to come in. Okay, so here I am, 5:15 in the morning. I'm walking down towards the beach and I've got expectations. My expectation is I'm going to see a great sunrise. Because God's saying to me, hey, come, let's see a great, kind of like Adam and Eve. You know, did God really say? God didn't say, I'm going to show you the best sunrise. He didn't say that to me. All he said is, let's hang out and let's watch a sunrise together. But I'm going out and walking down, and the first thing I see is there's overcast. It's overcast. I mean, it's not completely, but I say like, you know, 70% overcast. I mean, you can see some stars, but I'm thinking, Now, what are the next thoughts that come into my mind? I'm wasting my time. I might as well go back to bed. This is not going to be a good sunrise. You know, I'm going to sit there for an hour and I'm not going to see anything. I've just wasted my time. Where do you think those thoughts are coming from? Yeah, the enemy. The enemy, right? Okay, but I acknowledge that. And I said, wait a minute. I'm instilling my expectation into God. How does that work for us? Not too well. God did not say, I'm going to show you the greatest sunrise. God said, let's hang out and let's watch a sunrise together. So I had to rearrange my expectations to God. Okay? My expectations to God. Now, along with that came the next step, which is an acknowledgement. Now, this is going to sound stupid, I know, but I'm going out and it just occurs to me, you know what? We're talking about the weather. I think God can do anything he wants in the next 30 minutes. Don't you think God could make these clouds disappear in the next 30? I mean, is it possible that the God of the universe could actually make it 30 minutes from now, 45 minutes, he could actually make it a great sun? Isn't that possible? And I'm like, yeah, I guess it is. So I come to the point acknowledging this sunrise will be exactly what God wants it to be, because he can make it whatever he wants it to be. That's huge. Do you see what I mean? Like, oh, of course that makes sense. Do you see, though, in the reality of living in the moment, that's a huge thing to come to that point and say, no, this is going to be exactly what God wants it to be, and whatever it is, I'm going to enjoy it. And so I come to this acknowledgement that God's going to make this whatever he wants it to be. Of course, where does that bring me to? Surrender. To surrender and say, Lord, have your way with the weather. I mean, after all, it's your sunrise. Have your way with it, Lord, and make it whatever you want it to be. And so we have that surrender. And I'll tell you what a huge step that is. When we encounter something and get to the point of saying, I'm going to let this play out and I'm just going to turn it over to God. Now what happened is I got there and it was overcast. I'm sitting there. I had a chair with me. I folded out. I'm sitting down. The sky's clearing a little bit, but not much. Again, about 60-70%, you know, overcast. Seeing some stars, and all of a sudden I start to see some red. You know, and it's pretty nice, pretty cool. And I would say overall, you know, I've seen some great sunrises. On a scale of 1 to 10, this is probably about a 6. Which is still pretty good, right? About a 6. I mean, you see the red, and it's amazing. It's kind of colors, and it's, you know, the brightness is coming up. And it's just an amazing feat to think about. You know, the sun is actually rising as the earth's turning. And so I'm just enjoying this, and I'm looking at it, and it comes red. And it wasn't tremendously red and glowing, but it was you know, it was really pretty. Hanging out with God and just enjoying just a sense of his vastness and his, you know, the stars that I could see. You know, he holds them in the palm of his hand. I'm just kind of experiencing this awesomeness of the living God. That was the encounter. So it gets time. I think I waited long enough. I didn't have a watch or my phone with me. And I'm thinking like, okay, I think the sun is up now because it was all overcast. I couldn't really see much. I'm thinking, okay, it's a little less red now. It's probably, you know, the sun has risen. I'm going to go back home, get back into bed. So I fold up the chair and I turn around and I just look back, you know, one more look. And here in the very horizon, I see this deep red speck. I mean, bright, brilliant red. And it's the sun is rising. The clouds had broken just enough across the horizon. I could see this thing, this ball, this bright, red, huge, big ball starts to come out of the water. Now, again, I can only see about a quarter of it at a time, but actually you can watch this thing rise when it's on the horizon because of refraction. And I'm actually watching this big, bright, red, beautiful ball rise. And it was like awesome. It almost took my breath away. And it's like, I thought God was finished. And he says, I've got something else to show you. And so where does that leave me? And that leaves me finally with this sense of just thanksgiving. Oh. You know, what did he say? He said, you know, let's hang out together. Let's watch a sunrise. I'm okay, Lord, I'll be there. He wakes me up to do it. He instills a desire in me to do it. I go down. I have my doubts. He quells my doubts. As I acknowledge his greatness, I then surrender to him. He blesses that time greatly, and my heart gives him thanks. And I had a great day. Now I'm talking about a sunrise. Some of us are talking about a lot more serious issues in our lives, but I would dare to suggest to you that the process is the same, that there is an anticipation no matter what we're going through, that God wants to have some divine appointments with us. He wants to hang out with us. And generally, I think he's going to say, I want you to go somewhere. I want you to go be this or do that. It's not always again, but I think there's something about that. As we expect that and as we are obedient to it, we go. But now we have to supplant our expectations with God's. What does he promise us? He simply is going to say, I'll be with you. Okay? So we go by his expectations. And as we do that, when these doubts creep in, we start to acknowledge God will make this whatever he wants it to be, whether it's a flat tire or battling a terminal cancer or disease. Same thing. Same thing. God will do what he wants to do in that situation. And so I acknowledge and I surrender. And that is huge. A huge step to surrender, to say, wow, it actually becomes kind of fascinating. You know, something happened, I'm like, wow, I wonder what God's going to do with this. Like I said, whether it's a flat tire or a medical report, I wonder what God's going to do here. In a way, it kind of makes life exciting. And so I surrender, and as I surrender, I end up giving thanks for whatever it is because it turns out to be awesome. Whatever it is. So now let me get back out of all these to our first talk about abiding. See, this is the divine encounter that leads to this abiding in God, him abiding in us, knowing his presence, knowing his peace. As we abide in him, we have that experience, that knowing that God is faithful. He is great. He is true to his promises. As we know that, we then have faith. We trust. We really, really believe the stuff that we just read. And that brings us this sense of peace that passes all understanding because it just doesn't make sense. And so instead of distance from God, we want to abide in Christ. Instead of doubts, we want to know God personally. Instead of our fears, we want to have faith. Instead of anxiety, we want peace. Where does it come from? Where does it begin? What is it all based on? The abiding. The abiding. Now I want to just share with you what we heard going back to Isaiah 43. This is the God of the universe speaking. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. This is individual. This is specific. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. Will it be easy? No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying it's not going to overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, not if, but when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. The flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. There's only one Savior. There is no other. You are precious in my eyes and honored. And I love you. So fear not. Be not anxious. Have the peace of God which comes from knowing him, abiding in him, and allowing him to abide in us. It is in this knowing that we truly accept the love of God, that he loves us more than we can imagine. And if he loves us more than we can imagine, truly, 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 the best is yet to come. Let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, forgive us, Father, for our anxieties, our worries. Forgive us for our smallness of faith, our fears. Forgive us for our doubts. Forgive us for our distance. Father, may we abide in you. May we know you and know the truth of your promises. May we then have that faith to trust no matter what. And then that peace which comes from knowing and believing and trusting. For all this, we give thanks in He who has made it all possible, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.